Geek Radio Daily for not Monday.
Ain't what it is. It's another day closer to poker. And you should come join us because the Funtress was even like on Facebook saying, hey, come play poker so I can take your money. Oh, damn, she called you out.
Ooh.
You gonna let that happen? Psh, we'll figure it out. Welcome to the 7th of December. There'll be lots of retrospectives. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that will treat you exactly the way he treats Legos if you mess with him, that bear is podcaster Richard Siegfried.
Lego characters being as unfazed by dismemberment as the drugged up prostitutes in my van.
Whoa! Hey now, I was not expecting that. Me? I'm the incredibly wonderfully talented and so damned interesting Billy Flynn.
You're not interesting. You're just idiotic.
Oh, it still starts with an I. What happened this fine day there, sir?
Never seen so many dead prostitutes in my entire life.
Lord knows I have.
We miss you, Norm. In 1877, at the offices of the Scientific American magazine, Thomas Edison demonstrates his improved phonograph using a cylinder wrapped with tin foil instead of wax-coated paper.
I wonder who told him to do that. 1909, Leo Bakeland of Yonkers, New York, receives a patent for the first completely synthetic, that's artificial, plastic thermosetting plastic. Plastic.
1930, W1XAV in Boston, Massachusetts, broadcasts video from the CBS radio orchestra program, The Fox Trappers. The broadcast features the first television commercial in the United States, an advertisement for IJ Fox Furriers, the radio show's sponsor.
1938, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper begins a two-year experiment to deliver an abbreviated version of the paper by UHF radio to 15 households equipped with special receivers. Which, of course, took off, and is why you have one.
1941, CBS broadcasts the first instant news special.
Just add water. 1942, the U.S. Navy launches the USS New Jersey, the largest and trashiest battleship ever built. That was mean. That was just mean.
1945, Percy Spencer patents the microwave oven after accidentally discovering that microwaves could heat food.
Whoa. 1945, Universal Pictures releases the horror film House of Dracula, directed by Earl C. Kenton, starring Lon Chaney Jr., John Carradine, Martha O'Driscoll, Lionel Atwell, to U.S. theaters. It's a sequel to House of Frankenstein and features the three most popular Universal monsters, Count Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, and the Wolfman.
And, of course, was the predecessor to, many years later, The Destruction Kings. 1960, MGM releases the science fiction film Village of the Damned, directed by Wolf Rea, and starring George Sanders, a fairly faithful adaptation of the novel The Midwich Cuckoos by John Wyndham.
Skip the John Carpenter remake. 1963, Instant Replay makes its debut during the Army-Navy football game in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
1972, Apollo 17, the sixth and last Apollo moon mission, is launched from Cape Canaveral.
1978, Paramount Pictures releases the sci-fi film Star Trek, the motion picture, directed by Robert Wise, starring William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, James Doohan, George Takei, Walter Koenig, Nichelle Nichols, Majel Barrett. I would have had a 20-minute shorter runtime if they didn't keep showing us the Enterprise.
1989, U.S. Congressman Dennis Eckhart announces at a large news conference that he is recommending an investigation of Nintendo by the U.S. Justice Department.
For what reason? 1990, Universal Studios in Los Angeles, California, Nintendo holds the Nintendo Power Fest, grand finale to their nationwide video game competition, over 3 days.
1995, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones holds the first online multimedia conference using CompuServe CB from London.
Which one is more archaic, CompuServe or a CB? 1995, the U.S. spacecraft Galileo arrives at Jupiter more than 6 years after its launch from the Space Shuttle Atlantis. During mission STS-34, it fires its main engine for 49 minutes to establish an orbit and releases an atmospheric probe, which will relay information on the structure and composition of the planet.
1999, Intel conducts the first public demonstration of its Bluetooth wireless technology, a set of specifications for personal area networks, or PENs.
2004, the Astrophysical Journal reports that the Hubble Space Telescope has photographed a galaxy that may just be 500 million years old, which would make it the youngest galaxy yet discovered in the universe.
2004, researchers from the New York State Department of Health and the State University of New York in Albany demonstrate a device which allows users to interface with a computer using thought alone.
2005, the journal Nature publishes the DNA sequence of a domestic dog, specifically a boxer.
And in 2008, Mr. Fox and Kylie steal Bogus Chicken Farm from the fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's such a cussing good film. Birthdays?
Caleb Landry Jones, 32, Banshee in X-Men First Class, and the 2017 Twin Peaks.
Which was so good. Nicholas Holt is 32 from X-Men First Class, Warm Bodies, Fury Road, something coming up that I've forgotten.
He's in The Great.
There you go.
Which is really damn good. We've also got Shiri Appleby, 43, from 13th Floor, Swim Fan, Roswell, and Unreal.
Jeffrey Wright is 56. Felix in the Craig Bond movies, Boardwalk Empire, Hunger Games, Westworld.
And also was the voice of the Watcher in the... Wasn't a fan. Patrick Fabian, 57. Saved by the Bell, The College Years, Joan of Arcadia, Veronica Mars, Big Love, and Better Call Saul.
James Keach is 64. From Legend of the Lone Ranger, Vacation, and Moving Violations.
The lovely Ellen Burstein is 89. From The Last Picture Show, Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, The Exorcist, Requiem for a Dream, and Big Love.
No longer with us, Point of State in 1904, Clarence Nash, who was the voice of Donald Duck.
Man, that's an impression I always wish I could do. All I can do is him being really ticked off. That's it, but I can't use words. 1915, Eli Wallach from The Magnificent Seven, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, and was the other Batman 66, Mr. Freeze.
1923, Ted Knight from The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Caddyshack, Too Close for Comfort, and was the voice of many DC superheroes, including giving us the narration for The Super Friends.
Meanwhile, on television, on CBS, we've got a new FBI, FBI Most Wanted, and FBI International.
ABC Live, in front of a studio audience, is The Facts of Life and Different Strokes.
They're just going to tell people?
Yeah, it's, it takes a good...
show it? What's going on?
Well, it's where they recreate them like they did with Good Times and they did with...
With the act. Oh, yeah. Okay. They're not telling people the facts of... Okay, right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
NBC has a new live semifinal top eight eliminations on a new The Voice and the People's Choice Awards 2021.
Fox has The Resident and Our Kind of People.
CW Eobard Thawne returns in an unanticipated way, shocking Barry. Damien Dark offers advice, with a catch... To Barry, an epic battle commences between Reverse Flash and The Flash. Team Flash, Batwoman, Sentinel, and Ryan Choi on Armageddon Part 4 on A New The Flash and A New Riverdale.
Freeform has Disney's A Christmas Carol.
Ooh. AMC has the 100% accurate, historically, Pearl Harbor.
Just a little bit more than FX has Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
FX takes the Simpsons Marathon with Krusty the Clown and Daticus Finch.
If you missed it last week, FXM is showing Office Christmas Party, which still has nothing to do with Jim Halpert.
I also can't imagine that it's going to be as good if it's censored.
Nope. And
BBC America has Bad Boys for Two featuring Night Lau.
Paramount Network has Midway.
Which, by the way, if you don't know, Fortnite had a Mike Lowry skin for some reason. Weird. Okay. Sippy has Back to the Future Part 2, a fantastic sequel.
But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman who runs a shop that sells memorabilia tied to various murders begins to fear for her life when an anonymous killer leaves souvenirs from unsolved murders on her doorstep and she must solve the mystery to feel safe again. Isabella Piscate and Jamie Donnell star in Memories of a Murder.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When an unlikely suspect is charged with treason, Chad must perform his duty as the new killer of the convicted. Cause you know someone's got to, and who better than Chad? He makes men wake in fear. He leaves them sightless. Though maybe they can catch him during one of his many naughty moments. You know, when he... How can I best describe his, fetish? Slut. Musical. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Hi, geeks. This is about your 29 November episode. Netflix still mails out DVDs. They have three times as many titles on DVD, including relatively obscure foreign films and TV, especially from the UK. And I love your coverage of Ada, the poetry bot. So much good info, so many good jokes. Stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, thank you, Bill. We did have a really good time with that one, and we did find that we were somewhat silly. If you know some jokes we missed or just want to say what other wonderful things we've done, by all means, drop us a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail or text message. Use the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
I am not getting sick.
A wanderer of the first people. A healer on the run from his church. An honor-bound veteran of the wars. A young woman struggling with her arcane power. A blade-bound orphan from the streets, whose legacy is The Heart of the Hunter, a fantasy audiobook set in the shared world of Kor and I, from the co-creator of Changeling the Dreaming and Wraith the Oblivion, available for free at bit.do/hearthunter.
Hi, this is for a Geek Radio Daily, Sweep the Leg from Marty Sensei Code.
Oh, I think we knew who you were, sir. I don't think you have to tell us.
But I'm so glad you did. That's awesome.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Come on, we're past all that. What's on the shelf, sir?
The thing that scares me about that, it's not the actor, it's the character that's saying it. In our TV aisle, we've got Rick and Morty, the complete fifth season.
Creepshow, season two.
We've also got Gamora, second season. Is it biblical? Is it an MCU character? I don't know.
Call the Midwife, season 10. Wait, shouldn't that have been done by now?
Lots of kids. We'll just say that Classic TV has The Andy Griffith Show, the complete series.
Ready to feel old? Harold and Maude's got a 40th anniversary set out.
Huh. Also, Beavis and Butthead do America, 25th anniversary.
Wow. From our regular movies department, Cop Shop.
We've also got One Night in Miami, which I can only imagine makes a grown man humble.
What you get on the low FM dial as you drive in weird places, broadcast signal intrusion.
We've also got Cry Macho.
Last Shootout.
Dear Evan Hansen, which personally I'd rather watch World's Greatest Dad.
Werewolves Within.
13 Minuets.
How many seconds is that? The Jesus Music.
We don't want over. We've also got Ron's Gone Wrong.
And of course, just in time for the holidays, Krampus, the Naughty Cut. But you probably want to get the story of Detective John Bishop and Dr. Rachel Carson, who must find a way to stop a giant monstrous insect that's eating people in her quarantine hospital before it procreates and spreads a deadly infection it's carrying. Ivan E. Roth, Steve Railsback, and Gwyneth Walsh star in a movie inexplicably called Blue Monkey?
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world for me. Geeky, put it. I'm just saying, a monkey is not an insect. As production continues on Rob Zombie's big screen reimagining of The Munsters, the shock rocker turned filmmaker revealed another big addition to the movie's cast. In an Instagram post, Zombie confirmed that Sylvester McCoy has joined the film as the titular family's servant, Eagle.
Every great decision creates ripples, like a huge boulder dropped in a lake.
McCoy already has a number of genre credits to his name. He rose to prominence in the late 80s as the Seventh Doctor, headlined in the series from 87 to 89. More recently, he starred as Gandalf's cousin Radagast in all three films in the Hobbit trilogy. He's also appeared in several episodes of Netflix's Sense8.
I don't relax. I sit down and contemplate all the energetic things I should do.
Igor wasn't exactly a major fixture during the Monsters' 1960s heyday. In fact, he never appeared in the original series at all. He was later introduced in the 1981 TV movie The Monsters' Revenge, where he showed up as a caretaker of Castle Dracula. Actor Howard Morris played Igor in the film.
You don't understand regeneration, Mel. It's a lottery, and I've drawn the short plank.
Zombie previously announced that Jeff Daniel Phillips, Sherry Moon Zombie, Danny Roebuck are starring in the reboot as Herman Lilly and Grandpa Monster, respectively. Richard Brake also has a role in the film as Dr. Henry Augustus Wolfgang. Filming commenced in Budapest earlier this year. Universal still has announced a release date, but it's expected to be released as a Peacock exclusive. Now look, Rob Zombie does not have the best track record with reboots, but then anybody remotely interesting is mad in some way or another. But then again, somewhere there's danger. Somewhere there's injustice, and somewhere else, the tea's getting cold.
Chris Hemsworth is best known for playing Thor, but that doesn't mean his life begins and ends in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. While he's been hard at work juggling multiple high-profile projects, he's also made time to spend with his family over the last couple years. That's led to some memorable and magical moments, some of which he's shared with fans on social media. The latest is one that cinephiles will find especially adorable, because it features him and his son recreating an iconic moment from Tom Hanks' classic film, Big.
Well, I suppose that depends on which moment?
As the caption states, Chris Hemsworth and his son, Sasha, were reenacting Big's famous F.A.O. Schwartz piano scene featuring Tom Hanks and Robert Loggia. Of course, there are a few key differences between the original movie scene and the Hemsworth's impromptu reenactment. They're not in a framed New York City toy store, but rather on the streets at night during a family vacation in Europe. They're also not dancing on an oversized piano keys, but on a tinkly-sounding street piano, which is admittedly just as fun.
He also wasn't trapped in the body of a gangly comedian, but in the body of an amazingly sculpted specimen of a superhero.
The Australian actor has frequently shared parts of his family life with his friends, whether he's Instagramming footage of their family workouts, admitting that he relishes the chance to spend more time with them during quarantine last year, or showing pictures of family vacations before he jets off to film movies. He's made it clear that wife and children are a huge priority.
It's just like the vacation photos you ignore when someone shows them to you, but with amazing looking people.
Hemsworth has several big projects in the works, including the Mad Max prequel and a Hulk Hogan biopic. It's enough to keep him on our screens for years to come. If Sasha ever decides he wants to follow in his father's acting footsteps, it's a safe bet Hemsworth would make time in his schedule so the father-son duo could team up. Maybe in a remake of Big. Or a sexier David S. Pumpkins. Any questions?
A new video from Hulu is promoting the upcoming 10th season of the Canadian comedy series Letterkenny by reminding fans that the entire show is currently available to stream.
Pert near time to tune into Letterkenny, so be sure to set your dials.
The brief clip acts as a highlight reel of seasons 1 through 9, chopping up some of Letterkenny's most iconically hilarious scenes. The footage includes various hardcore hockey fights, Christmas shenanigans, and plenty of sharp-witted quips in between the various segments. Hulu teases that the greatest gift of the holiday period is catching up on Letterkenny ahead of the next season debut on December 26th.
Oh, pitter patter.
Little is currently known about season 10 of Letterkenny beyond the brief 30-second teaser. Hulu has yet to reveal any significant details about the upcoming installment. While that may be exciting news for fans looking to experience all the new jokes and storylines fresh, the streaming service did confirm that viewers won't need to wait too long before season 11. The forthcoming seasons were filmed back-to-back, meaning there should be a good amount of Letterkenny for fans desperate for more of the series' offbeat sense of humor.
And I suggest you let that one marinate.
Beyond the next couple of seasons, Letterkenny fans can also look forward to the new spinoff show titled Shorzy. The new show will focus on the titular hockey player portrayed by the actor and co-creator Jared Kiso. The brief synopsis of the project released by Hulu reads, Shorzy joins a senior triple hockey triple A team in Northern Ontario on a quest to never lose again.
Your life's so pathetic, I ran a charity 15K to raise awareness for it.
The 10th season of Letterkenny debuts on Hulu December 26th. Season 11 currently does not have a premiere date, but more information will likely be shared in the near future. Now look, we both love Letterkenny, and if you haven't had the chance to catch up on the 5,000 people in Letterkenny and their problems, we suggest you figure it out.
What started as an attempt to get rid of pesky creatures ended with an entire house going up in flames. A house of nearly 10,000 square feet in Dickerson, Maryland, an hour west of Baltimore, was engulfed in flames on November 23rd when the homeowner tried to smoke out a snake infestation on the property, according to Pete Perringer, chief spokesperson for the Montgomery County Fire and Rescue Service.
Well, are there still snakes?
Perringer said snakes had been an ongoing issue for this owner and the previous tenant as well. Coals were being used as the heat source for the smoke, but they were placed too close to combustible materials, eventually setting the house on fire. The fire started in the basement and quickly spread through each floor, engulfing the multi-story home.
I feel like snakes weren't that bad of an issue.
Perringer told CNN that the owner was at home a few hours before, but luckily no one was there at the start of the fire. A neighbor passing by saw the smoke and called 911. At around 10 p.m., 75 firefighters showed up on the scene to battle the blaze. Well, there were no fire hydrants in the area, Perringer said, which isn't a problem because we're used to it. But we had to shuttle in water tankers.
I thought that's what the Dalmatians are for.
It took a few hours for firefighters to get the fire under control, but it wasn't completely out until the next morning. The damages will cost more than $1 million. The house was recently purchased for $1.8 million, according to public records. The fire department deemed the incident an accident, as there was no evidence or intention of starting the fire. Perringer recommends using other ways to battle an infestation.
You don't say!
There are animal services that can come out and make recommendations, or pest control, or an exterminator, Perringer said. We recommend you have professionals deal with any pest control issues to help maintain the situation. Being that there was no one home at the time, there were no injuries reported. The status of the snakes is unknown, but as the home was left in rubble, it's assumed that they no longer live there. Unless that's what they want you to think. They could rise from the ashes, like the mythological North American snake-nix.
Oh, that's the Union of the Snake. Despite being a Spider-Man movie through and through, one particular moment in Spider-Man Homecoming ended up as one of the most memed moments to come from the film, and it's got nothing to do with the eponymous web-slinger. The sequence in question involves Hannibal Buress as Coach Wilson showing Peter Parker's physical education class a retro public service announcement featuring Captain America. As it turns out, the filmmakers behind the movie wanted most of the Avengers to appear alongside Steve Rogers.
You didn't think America's ass was enough.
Writer Jonathan Goldstein revealed that he and his writing partner came up with 5 additional PSAs to potentially film. We had about 5 more of these educational videos with Avengers in them. When asked if they were ever being filmed, Goldstein responded by saying he didn't believe so. The scene still counted as an appearance towards Evan's contract with Marvel Studios, a deal that expired with Avengers Endgame.
So, you couldn't afford a bunch of A-list actors for a 10-second joke.
Homecoming is set for release on December 17th. Will there be more PSAs? I mean, I hope so. These could be new recurring gimmicks now that Stan Lee has passed. How great would it be to have a PSA from Carol Danvers about the dangers of cell phones, Rocket Raccoon about losing prosthetics, or from James Rhodes about what to do when your body experiences weird changes? GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, not driven to work, 963.0 license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
It's like you're a whole different person.
It's so strange. You know, somehow you look shorter. I don't know what that's all about. Oh, you were in a pool, weren't you? Hey, drop us a note, won't you? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a voicemail, a text message. Either one's fine. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD.
Thanks for however you're listening. We do appreciate it.
I asked for an army and all I got was you. You are not enough.
Good night, everybody.
Seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
It's happening! Use the moose!
What do you got in here, rocks?
Are you kidding? When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
So what?
So what? So let's dance!
I was alone. I never knew what could left me.
Bah! Now, what the devil?
Then we touched, then we sang about love and things.
The man's a menace!
All night, all night.
Cut that off!
So
music is a violation of my personal privacy. He's breaking the law!
Really? You know, I've always been fascinated with the law, sir.
Oh, really? What areas?
Oh, all areas. Personal privacy, noise statutes. You know, I plan to go to law school after I graduated, but, looks like my folks won't have enough money to put me through college.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers, too.
Nice try.